The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jewish people do not eat unless they wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash, and there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles and beds. And so the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines, yet abandon the commandment of God and hold to the human tradition.'" Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that, by going in, can defile, but things that come out are what defile. For it is for within, from the human heart, that the evil intentions come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, debauchery, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace unto you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, we are gathered here in this sanctuary, and those who are following on Zoom are in their respective homes. I know that each family has got their own traditions. Different traditions exist among ourselves. I will just briefly describe my tradition that I grew up in. I was born in a family of 12 children, 9 boys, 3 girls. I think I mentioned this sometime. And so the time of dinner or lunch, we will sit in groups. And of course, girls will sit on their group because, you know, boys will eat too much. So what will happen is that we'll sit in groups, maybe of 4 or 5, depending on who is present at that time. And we'll sit in a circle. And in that circle, we know how to do the stuff, and we'll be eating from one dish. So as the dish there, and so the dish with the main course and other things, so we'll be taking from one with our hands and dipping either in the relish, whatever meat or vegetables, whatever, from one dish. And here's something that is very important that I didn't understand when I was growing up. When it comes to the meat, you don't just pick the meat randomly. The eldest pick the meat and goes to the last. And then here is something that I still envy about my tradition. It's lost a little bit, but some families still practice this. What will happen is that at the end of the meal, The elders will leave from the group and leave the youngest to finish off. So whenever you eat, you will not eat and finish. Whatever is left will be finished by the youngest. So the elders will understand that we have got the youngest among us and does not eat as fast as us, or maybe they don't take even the bigger portion as us. So you'll leave either another piece of meat, an extra piece of meat, and others for the youngest to finish. So it has been going on and on, and that sitting on and on. And this has been my tradition that I grew up in. And I know in some traditions, family will say at 7 o'clock, it's dinner time. Wherever you are, you have to rush to get back home so that you can join the family at dinner time. And I know even others, they are still cooking the meals that represents the tradition that they grew up in. These are various traditions that we have. So what I'm trying to say this morning, my dear friends, is that food and eating are a cultural phenomenon. Families behave differently, or they do certain rituals and practices before and after eating. And I know in my own family that there is sometime a time of prayer or giving grace. I know many of you do the same. And how even the food is shared. And I think I'm talking in the Western culture here, where we talk about the table manners. You have to behave in a certain way, because if you don't do that, you disturb the flow of how people eat. You know, sometimes in my country, we chew the bones, you know, because the meat will not be as much as what we have here. End up even chewing the bones. Even when you chew the bone, you have to say to the others, please excuse me, I'm chewing my bone, because it makes noise. It's a tradition, and people, and because those are table manners, you may disturb others by the way you chew your bones. So again, we see even when you set your table, there is the way that you put, you lay your fork either on the left or your knife on the right. Whatever tradition you have, these are the type of the traditions that we have. Of course, washing of the hands is another tradition. We all know that there are good reasons for keeping our hands clean, with all the germs and diseases out there. And for the Pharisees and scribes, these rituals meant much more than that. So when they saw the disciples eating with unwashed hands, they got a little concerned, and they asked Jesus about it. So the text before us this morning is about how the Pharisees make a priority of tradition over love. That tradition is more important than the commandment of love. And the Pharisees were committed to these religious traditions than carrying out the fundamental commandment of God for love, mercy, and justice in a miserable world. The Pharisees were more concerned about ritual rather than being part of the real world. So we find some Jewish leaders, scribes and Pharisees. We were a very good people. And this group of people that we meet today are not part of these other. They were really religious people, wonderful people who obeys the law. But here's something that we need to understand about this particular law. This particular law, when you read in the Old Testament, is not as what today's text is about. But these were some of the laws that were edited. Remember, the scribes were among the elite group of the legal elites who then write some of these laws and the like. And we know even today there's an extra laws that the Jewish has made, which is actually even much more important than the Old Testament itself. So there were extra edited laws that were done by the elders and the rabbis of that time. And they were very important, very strict on those kind of the laws. So the scribes and the Pharisees we see today, they are not actually very evil as sometimes we understand in the New Testament. We think that always the scribes and the Pharisees are the bad guys, are the bad people. But in these guys, the Pharisees always said grace before and after their meals. They always went to the synagogue every Friday night. The Pharisees always give their 10%, their tithe of their income to the Lord. They always turned eastward in prayer three times a day. When it comes to prayer, this way, these guys praise a lot more than we do. They always wash their hands before meals as a sign of religious piety or religious purity. Of course, I don't want to dwell much about the issues of those laws of purity and cleanliness and the like, but there are so much more about that. They were good religious traditions which were found in the Old Testament. And these were devout religious people. But whether they were religious, but they lacked something. They lacked what we call the spirit of the law. What does the law, when we read it, calls us to do? And the whole, the summary of all the laws, all in the Old Testament, the summary is love God, your God, with all your heart, with your, all your might and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that is the point in which they lack. So the priority of the religious traditions becomes much more important to people than the commandment to love. For example, in some churches, people fight whether women should be ordained or not. Some are fighting about abortion, whether or not it is the work of God or the devil. And in another churches, they are fighting about whether one can speak in tongues or not. Church after church becomes dramatically polarized over religious interpretations and traditions. And worse yet, in the midst of such conflicts, God's invitation for love, mercy, and justice are soon forgotten and abrogated. And again, I will tell you for another little story in my own home village. I know of a rich family who had three beautiful daughters, the Kardashians of today. We had also those Kardashians as well. But one of the young lady, the youngest of the three, fell in love with a tailor at a local business center. And the rich family were devastated because their tradition was that our children in their families over, because they were part of the royalty, they are married by the rich or by the royalty as well. But this little girl chose a tailor at a local business place. The father refused to give his daughter in marriage. For the father, she was dead. She was not part of the family at all. But Christian love is never withdrawn. God never withdraws his love for us when we do not live up to his expectations. And Paul says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers. Nothing. Nada. Nothing. Our traditions, our theology, nothing. Nothing is to become so serious a matter that one withholds the love and mercy of God. Nothing. For that commandment of love and be merciful takes priority over everything which may seem important at that time. People have always seemed to have time for their traditions and their religiosity and their rituals, and less for the works of mercy and justice. Well, Jesus and his disciples were changing the form. They were doing all those things the tradition told them not to do. Touching and healing the sick, freeing people from demons and hanging out with the Gentiles. And all those people were considered unclean. He and his disciples lived their lives in the dirty. He was changing the form. And Jesus said, "You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." In other words, you intended your tradition to be a fence around the law, but you have built a wall, and such a high wall that you can no longer see what is it is you are trying to protect. You no longer understand the commandment of God, and all these little rituals you perform in the name of God, they mean nothing, because your heart ain't right. And it is also easy to reduce Christianity to a set of values or even a set of traditions and practices. By the way, what we are doing today will become a tradition as well over the time. And sometimes we'll find also caught up in a tradition and fail to do what we are called to do. Let me give you an example. We read out the names of the people who are sick every Sunday, which is good anyway. As a church, we need to pray together. But are we taking a step and say, let me give a call to one of the people on the list that I had? Have you asked yourself to do that? Have you tried to send a card to say, you are in our thoughts and our prayers when you heard that name? Did you decide someday to visit them, to walk, drive to them and visit them? Because it becomes a routine. As a church, oh, we need to read out the names. But let me challenge you, my dear friends, today. Make the next step. The acts of love to go visit them and speak to them. I'm not quite sure, we should have checked this to Jennifer before maybe I preached, in medical fraternity, that religion now is part of the lessons in the medical fraternity, because religion plays a role in the healing of people. So by visiting, by calling them, by praying for them, it makes a difference. So it becomes a tradition as well. Whatever we are doing today, it becomes another tradition. It will be the same and the same and the same and the same. I'm not saying that is wrong, but I'm saying we are called to do a little bit further than that. Because Christianity is a practical religion. You need to do something. So the call is to return again and again to God in search of transformation. And I say, faith is a practical phenomenon. Faith lived, experienced, and acted. Faith as praxis. He has external and also internal dimensions. But it is also about orientation. Are we centered on God, who loves us faithfully in such a way that we may become servants of others rather than ourselves? That's what the Pharisees and the scribes were doing. They were using their traditions as a means of division. And look at these guys, they were stereotyped with the, you know, with these, they were prejudiced, stereotypes of, you know, you can't eat without cleaning your hands and all that. In the name of God, they had created a system where one's devotion to God was measured solely by his or her actions. And their rituals and customs caused them to believe that they were doing a little better than anyone or everyone else, and allowed them to believe that they were clean in the eyes of God, when inside in their hearts they were struggling with the same sins as the rest of us. My dear friends, it's okay to have rituals. It's okay to have tradition. We as Lutheran, we've got a Lutheran tradition. You know, we caught all these wonderful Lutherans, you know, Martin Luther did this, or Dietrich Bonhoeffer did this, and we follow their traditions. That's fine. But our rituals and traditions must never become our God, with a small g. Rituals and traditions will not save us. They will not make us clean. If we want to be clean, we must look not to the works of our hands, but at our hearts. And that true cleanliness comes from within. And so if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, our God, who is faithful and just, is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess. My brothers and sisters, our God invites us all to come despite of our sins, telling us to lay it all on the table. Today, as we come before the table that has been set before us to receive God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. And when you hear that invitation, you don't need to try to wash your hands. We don't have any water to wash your hands here. But just come as you are. And God is ready to receive you. Yes, it's the dirty, our dirty, that makes this moment holy. Amen.